This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about this Obama-Russian hoax. Steve Dace is going to join us. We have we have to have a discussion about communists and how they use power versus how we use power. Plus, we'll make fun of the WNBA. Well, that's coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's discuss this Obama-Russian hoax thing, and we're going to discuss it kind of in a more broad term about communists and how they view power versus how we view power, because we get something wrong about them all the time, and we'll get to that in a moment. Before we do that, though, let's focus on what the deal is. Now, you are a hyper-informed person. I'm not trying to flatter you. You're here watching I'm Right on the First TV. There are a ton of things on TV, ton of things on your phone, your app, whatever you could be watching. Instead, you're watching this. You're someone who's interested in politics and power in your country. So you're very informed on the issues and the scandals and everything else. When I say that Barack Obama concocted the whole Russian hoax thing, used government power to destroy his political opponents, you're either A, not surprised, or B, you really knew a lot of that already. But here's the deal. It's one thing for you or me to sit here and talk about this, go out, get a beer, discuss it with friends. It's another thing entirely for Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, you know, Director of National Intelligence, to not only talk about it, to lay it out in video form and call for heads. I'm going to hand her the show here for a couple minutes as she lays out what that filthy street communist from Chicago did.
This president's daily brief document that was drafted for President Obama in early December that reaffirmed what the intelligence community professionals, as you say, had been assessing for the previous 6 months leading up to the election, which was that Russia neither had the intent nor capability to essentially hack the outcome of the U.S. election. As you said, President Obama's political appointees pulled that document before it could be published, and it has not been published until we released it today. And the very next day after they pulled that document, President Obama called a National Security Council cabinet meeting to discuss how Russia interfered with the election. Again, this is the first
This week is December 9th,
President
right?
Trump had already won, correct.
This is the December 9th meeting.
That's exactly right. The December 9th meeting, we declassified and released the what they called the summary of conclusions from that meeting. Then DNI James Clapper took the lead on what President Obama wanted done, and which was essentially create a document that tells us not if, but how Russia interfered with the election. President Obama delivered the conclusion that he wanted the intelligence community to reach and directed them to find and essentially create and manufacture the intelligence to support the conclusion that President Obama wanted to deliver to the American people. Once that document was drafted, the deep state kicked into gear and did what they usually do. They started leaking this classified information out to their friends at the Washington Post and others who are working hand in glove with the deep state to lay the groundwork for the assessment that they eventually released that served as the basis once again for this years-long coup with the goal of trying to subvert the American people's will and usurp President Trump from being able to deliver on the mandate that the American people gave to him when they chose to elect him as President of the United States.
Okay, so I know that was a lot. Allow me to just briefly recap that in a little bit simpler terms for idiots like me. First, let's get this out of the way. in America, in politics, here in the United States of America. Obviously, we have two major political parties, Democrat and Republican. You understand that. You will politic with your party. There's no question. You'll play politics. Republicans will serve Republicans, and Democrats will serve Democrats, and they'll attack Republicans, and Republicans will attack Democrats. You understand all that. But once you are in elected office at any level, president, mayor, doesn't, everything in between doesn't matter. Once you are in elected office, it is actually the law that all that political stuff stops. Yes, you're still a Democrat, and you're going to push forward Democrat priorities, but you don't get, it's not allowed, it's against the law to use the forces of government for political reasons, for elections, to attack your political opponents. That is not only wrong, sick, and evil, it's against the law. Just so we're clear about that. I know that's a basic point. Now let's get to the other point she just laid out. 2016, Donald Trump wins an election. Shocks everybody. Barack Obama is still president of the United States of America, remember, until Donald Trump is sworn in. Barack Obama's intelligence guys bring him a document that says, hey, these Russians, I know we're trying to paint Trump as a Russian stooge and whatnot, but they didn't hack the election. They didn't want to. In fact, this document shows they couldn't even if they wanted to. Barack Obama says, oh, okay, throw that in the paper shredder and bring me back intelligence that proves they did. And then they did, meaning the intelligence community cooked the books, invented intelligence to smear Donald Trump as a Russian agent, Vladimir Putin. This not only unleashed the intelligence community against Donald Trump by pretending he's some foreign spy lawbreaker, it also allowed the American media to beat you over the face with things like this every single day.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion.
It's super obvious already. He is a Russian asset.
He is clearly a Russian asset.
The president is acting like he is the asset for Russia.
Back then, my biggest fear was we had elected an asset of the Russian government who would sell out America at every opportunity just to save his own hide. My biggest fear now is that I was right.
Do you still believe the president could be a Russian asset?
I think it's possible.
It is a possibility, and I would add to that caveat that whether witting or unwitting. And that is a really painful thing to say.
Now, as I just explained, I know it was an obvious point, you're not allowed to politic with your position in government. I'll tell you a quick story before we go to Tulsi Gabbard. Back when I was running for Congress and losing two elections, I had to fly back to D.C. and try to meet with various congressmen and senators, trying to get endorsements, get them to write a campaign, a check, something like that, get some campaign donations out of them. Did you know that I was not allowed to take those meetings asking for endorsements and money? I was not allowed to take those meetings in the government building, not on Capitol Hill, not in the congressional offices. Why? The congressional office is not a Republican office. That office is an official office of the United States government. And I can't go meet with him in a government office on government time and politic for Republicans. It's wrong. It's against the law. What Barack Obama did is against the law. Here's Tulsi Gabbard.
To me, it sounds like you have appointed powerful bureaucrats that just flat out created a narrative that was false to undermine a duly elected president. Now, if that's not a grand conspiracy, I don't know what would be. Do you see crimes here?
I do, Sean, and I'm referring all of these documents that we have found and uncovered, referring them to the Department of Justice for further investigation, accountability and action, not just investigation, but action. Accountability has to take place. The American people's ability to have faith and trust in the integrity of our democratic republic is literally what's at stake, and therefore the future of our ability to exist as the country that we know it. This accountability is critical to make sure that this never happens again.
Okay, she sounds good. I'm going to leave the facts of the case now because, well, I'll just lay this out for you. Now it's up to Pam Bondi. Tulsi Gabbard did the right thing. She exposed the criminals. She exposed the crimes. She handed these documents over. She handed everything over to the DOJ. Now, no more excuse time for Pam Bondi. No more Fox News interviews. No more nothing. No sitting down with the president and having him pat her on the back. Now's Pam Bondi's test. Send government people to prison over this or you're a failure. Period. End of story. All that aside, this is actually the point I wanted to get to. Okay, Obama, his cronies, they broke the law. They used government power against their political opponents. But here's something the right doesn't quite understand because we don't think like this. We don't share their values. For a communist, he would never dream of doing anything but that. Remember, he's not only a destroyer, he believes in using government power to reward his friends and punish his enemies. So law, no law, wrong, these things don't enter his mind. And this applies to so much more than Barack Obama. This is what we have never gotten because we don't look at power this way. And I'm glad we don't, by the way. But when the communist takes power at any level, it could be your child's second grade teacher. She's going to use every bit of power she has to push forward the revolution. If she's the FBI director, she will push forward the revolution. If she's the president, she will push forward the revolution. And these limits on what she should be doing with power, honestly, they seem infantile to the communist. The communist will use his or her power wherever you give it to them, and the power is always used for the revolution. If you allow them into your company, into your place of business, they will figure out a way to use your business for the revolution. That is what we are up against. For a communist like Barack Obama, mentored by people like Frank Marshall Davis, who actually had a communist card, he actually has a number. Barack Obama was raised, nurtured by communists. People wonder how so much damage has been done since he walked in there. He walked in there and for 8 years, he filled every part of this government up with other communists who have no time for laws or restrictions on power. They are fighting a revolution from within our government, and many, 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 I would argue most of them are still right there. So how do we stop it? Well, I just brought up Pam Bondi. Here's the ugly truth. As you've heard me say many times before, communists only understand fear and pain. You're not going to appeal to their morality. Hey, that was wrong. They're going to laugh in your face. They don't care about things like that. People have to go to prison now because those communists are still in the government and they will do the same thing again and again and again and again and again unless they look at what happens to the last people who did it and say, ooh, oh man, Clapper's in prison. I don't want that to happen to me. I better not do this. Fear and pain is all they understand. Time for Pam Bondi to give it to them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We will ask Ned Ryan about this and so many other things in a moment before we get to all that. I know you're probably stressed. You know what I do when I stress? I eat. And I usually eat terribly, I'm not gonna lie. I go for chips. I'm a chip man. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a chip man. I'm not even in particular about it. You want the potatoes, the corn chips, the cheese, the jalapenos, the whatever, but the chips are terrible for you. I know that. So what do I do? Somebody told me about Massa chips. It was actually Cernovich told me about Massa chips. And I kind of rolled my eyes because Massa chips are healthy? There's only 3 ingredients? That's gotta suck, right? Gotta be horrible. They're amazing. Amazing. 3 ingredients. Not all this garbage, cancer-causing crap. 3 ingredients and they're delicious. My youngest eats worse than I do. He lives for them. We have to fight over the bags in the house. You want to try? Just try. Try one bag. That'll be your new chip, I guarantee it. Go to massachips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't.
Oh, man. Did that age like a gallon of milk on my front porch in Houston in the summertime? Joining me now, my friend Ned Ryan. You can, of course, find him at AmericanLeviathan.com. Ned, I am so enjoying this. I'm totally cynical that anyone's actually going to go to prison because no one ever does, but I'm still enjoying this.
I have to tell you, I'm quietly optimistic that someone and actually multiple people are going to be prosecuted for what they did in this treasonous conspiracy. Jesse, what Tulsi Gabbard said on Friday is that they have over 100 documents that actually link to President Obama actually directing this entire conspiracy out of the Oval Office, something that we've suspected for 8 years, that this really would end up in the Oval Office with Barack Obama and Joe Biden, John Brennan, James Comey, a criminal conspiracy, slow-moving coup against Donald J. Trump, in which they not only attempted to destroy the peaceful transfer of power, but tried to take out Donald J. Trump. So I think there's going to be enough evidence. And I would remind people, the statute of limitations only begins on a criminal conspiracy when that conspiracy is disavowed, or in the last case of perjury. And so I would argue in the spring of 23, when John Brennan perjured himself in front of Congress and said he had nothing to do with putting the fake Steele dossier in the 2017 Intel Community Assessment, he perjured himself per the documents that current CIA Director John Ratcliffe just released a few weeks ago. So I would argue, if you say it's a 5-year statute of limitations on a criminal conspiracy, we've got until 2028 to pursue this. And the other thing I'll say is this, Jesse, I want to be very clear on this. I didn't make the rules, but now the rules are that you can actually prosecute an ex-president, a former president, give him a mugshot and prosecute him. And I think we would be, I sincerely hope that Pam Bondi, Kash Patel actually go and pursue and prosecute Barack Obama for his treasonous and seditious conspiracy against Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, I do too. Ned, don't give me hope. Don't give me hope. And I'll tell you why. Because I have a little bit too. Like, it's just this twinkling little bit of hope in the back of my mind, because when you have the DNI director laying the documents all out and essentially spoon-feeding this to Pam Bondi, I've wanted government people to go to prison for so long, it almost feels like we have a chance here. But then you say words like perjury, Ned, and that sounds like a slap on the wrist to me. Who can go to prison for how long?
Well, it all depends on how far they pursue this, and obviously what they're going after is conspiracy. They have to go to jail. Jesse, I mean, the fact of the matter is this in some ways isn't really about them. It's about the foundational principles of this country. Rule of law, equal application of the law. Obviously, you don't break the law from those positions of power and abuse public trust. I mean, there's a lot of fundamental things here that I think really will decide who are we as a people, who is we are as a country, our government 20 years from now. And so I think it's incumbent upon Pam Bondi and Kash Patel to actually pursue this all the way to the end, and that there are actual consequences for this, because it's a fundamental issue to me. If there are no consequences, you know, it tells people that there's not real rule of law, there's not equal application of it, and it continues to build the distrust of the American people and their institutions, which I think is another fundamental issue, and it's a critical issue for this country. When people lose trust in their institutions, everything starts to fall apart. And when you use the DOJ and the FBI, our intel community, as political weapons against political opponents over policy differences, and there's no consequences for it, how on earth are you expecting the American people to trust these institutions in the future? So Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, I hope, understand the gravity of this situation. And I hope that they will actually build the case in such a way. And I think that Tulsi's given them a ton of documentation to be able to take this all the way. And I think it's going to go to Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Andrew McCabe, James Comey, James Baker, General Counsel of the FBI, John Brennan, and James Clapper. And that's just a start. I think there's more, including Susan Rice, that should be held accountable for their actions.
Ned, I am, by the way, I just want to be clear for everybody watching right now in the White House, I am not making pre-excuses for Pam Bondi. But I have heard, and I know you've heard the same thing, you have great sources too, Pam Bondi's trying to clean out the DOJ because there's so many filthy communists in the DOJ.
Right.
And I have heard that she's having a very difficult time filling those positions because no lawyer wants their life destroyed for defending Donald Trump and working for Pam Bondi. Does Pam Bondi have the troops she need to take these people down?
I hope so. And I also hope the White House will empower the DOJ to fill some of these slots in which, you know, these there were leftist attorneys, DOJ lawyers that left as soon as Pam Bondi and Harmeet Dhillon, everyone else walked into that building. There are plenty of slots that can be filled, should be filled, with available conservative talent. And I hope that the White House clears the DOJ to be able to fill those positions and not find themselves hung up on, well, we're going to have cost savings. This is a moment in time in which I think the DOJ needs to be fully empowered with all of the conservative lawyers that it can find to fill those slots that were emptied by the leftist lawyers that left the building out of protest when Pam Bondi and Harmeet Dhillon and others walked in. So I hope the White House is not limiting the DOJ and their capabilities.
Ned, switching gears at least a little bit here, we seem to be getting good rulings for clearing out the Leviathan,
yep.
for clearing out the bureaucracy.
Yep.
What have we seen? Are you happy? It sounds like the kind of thing that would make Ned dance for joy.
It's a significant start in the right direction, Jesse. I mean, the recent Supreme Court decision in regards to Trump's dealing with the Department of Education, being able to shut it down, I think that's a massive step in the right direction. You know, we've seen 22,000 roughly federal employees that have left the federal government since the beginning of this administration, step in the right direction. I think it's one thing where Trump's going to have to continue to push this. I'm not going to be happy unless you see the Department of Education completely shut down. I know we've discussed this before. The building imploded and his Garden of Heroes built over where the Department of Education used to be. And then he keeps on going. He shuts down HUD and one or two other departments. And then the 22,000 is a nice start, Jesse, but of its own volition, before Donald Trump even showed up, 800,000 federal employees by this government have been deemed non-essential. So until we get to the 800,000 number and reducing the federal government by that figure, I'm not going to be happy. I mean, this is a moment in time in which Donald Trump, and I applaud him and I applaud his administration for doing what they're doing already, but they need to continue pushing hard on this to make sure they completely dismantle or at least give us the steps in the right direction to dismantle this administrative state, destroy this bureaucracy, and again, shift the balance of power in which the duly elected representatives are the ones in charge now, and any bureaucrats that are still around are answering to the duly elected representatives of the people, and that they fully understand the ones who decide and the ones who govern in this country are those that are elected by the American people to be their representatives. It is not rule of the bureaucrat. And we have to destroy that to make sure that we understand, people understand, in a constitutional republic, it's the duly elected representatives of the American people that decide, not the bureaucrats.
Ned, there's always a big story or a big issue we're ignoring, myself included. You know, we chase headlines. I try to see past them, but I fail. What aren't we paying attention to right now?
I think we're paying attention to most of the big issues. I will say this. One of the things that, I mean, I love Donald Trump. I love this administration. They're making massive steps in the right direction. I don't want to lose sight of this battle over mass deportations. I think that's one of the issues that we need to continue to push on. I'm not interested in amnesty at all on any level. I'm not interested in a carve out for farm workers. Because if you give them a carve out, then the restaurants, the hotel business, everybody else is going to want to carve out. This is our chance and our opportunity to continue to push to decouple our economy from illegal immigrant work. And so I think that's one thing that we don't want to lose in the shuffle of everything that's taking place. A lot of great things happening. Let's not lose sight of this. And I will say this too. The other thing that I want to stress, and it's one thing that we do very well at American Majority Action, the C4, let's not lose sight that the midterms are coming up. And it's November of 26. It's going to come up a lot sooner than we think. And there's a lot of important work that needs to be done in a lot of the key House districts. 2026 to me, Jesse, is about the House majority. I feel fairly confident about the Senate, but we need to start talking about doing more voter registration, absentee ballot generation, because the last thing we need to do, see happen, is for Democrats to take the House back and impeach Trump literally the first day they're probably sworn into office and derail everything that Trump is attempting to do. So I would say a couple of those stories right there, I'm not going to lose focus on that because I think they're absolutely key for us holding on to power in 26, in 28, in 30, so that then the census numbers can kick in and we can gain anywhere from 13 to 25 electoral votes and House seats in red states.
Yeah, absolutely. Ned, thank you, brother, as always. All right. We're going to talk about kind of culture war, but really it's going to be about life, employment. We're going to switch gears just for a minute here. Before we go do that, let me talk to you about fresh food. Till I got married to a health freak, it's not really something I focused on. I didn't really care if something was fresh or not fresh, but my wife is obsessed with fresh things. And so that's what we've done. But we've never done it with olive oil until recently. Who cares about how fresh olive oil is, right? Surely it's all the same. Just go down the grocery aisle and just grab a bottle of it and it'll all taste the same. Wow, is that wrong? Farm Fresh, farmfresh246.com, by the way. Just get one bottle. By the way, it's free. $39 bottle for free. You cover a dollar of the shipping. Get one bottle. That'll be the new place you go. Made her pesto pasta with it last night. Oh my gosh. What a difference when you get fresh olive oil. Farmfresh246.com. We'll be back. Okay. It's time to look, I guess it's going to kind of be a culture war thing. But at the same time, it's not going to be a culture war thing. Let's talk briefly about this WNBA thing. Not that we're going to discuss WNBA things very often on this show. So that's the women's professional basketball. If we're going to call it that, they recently had an all-star game. And these morons ran out there in shirts that said, pay us what you owe us. And of course, everybody knows by now, it's been reported, widely reported, that the WNBA lost $40 million last year alone. They lose money every year. It is a charity for lesbians. It's not a profitable league. Now, I am not doing this segment to make fun of the WNBA. They beclown themselves enough without any effort from me whatsoever. I am doing this for you. And this is more for younger people, but I guess some older people may need this lesson as well. There's a lot of people that didn't have fathers, apparently. Here's how it works. Here's how pay works, the world works, business works, capitalism works, economics works. I don't know how you want to put it, but here's how it works. You have to provide value to your employer. The value you provide to your employer will be split in some way with you. He's going to take a cut of it. After all, he's the employer. You're going to take a cut of it. I hope you get the most you can. I'm always rooting for you. You're the employee. But you must provide value. Now, do you know what determines your income level? It's not how good you think you are, how important you think you are, how necessary your job is. That actually has nothing to do with what you make. Here's what will determine what you make. The scarcity of your marketable skills. The scarcity of your marketable skills. I love a good fast food cheeseburger as much as the next man. And I value the people, mostly younger people, who work in that profession. That's hard work. You don't make any money. But anyone can do it. That's why you make minimum wage. Because it's not very scarce. Anyone can do it. This applies to other professions that we value even more. Teachers, cops even. He deserves to make more. He teaches history. A lot of people can teach history. I'm not dismissing teaching history. It's wonderful. I love you history teachers out there. But a lot of people can do it, so you're not going to make a lot of money. That brings me to the WNBA. There are a lot of people who can awkwardly saunter down the court and brick a layup. That is not something people crave, employers crave. That's why the league loses $40 million a year. Nobody watches. Nobody cares. Watching women play basketball has always been and will always be completely embarrassing because basketball is a story, it's a sport purely about athleticism. Women can do gymnastics or beach volleyball, even better. But basketball, it's about running and jumping. It requires athleticism, and women simply aren't as athletic as men are. Therefore, nobody watches. Therefore, the league loses tens of million dollars a year. Now, I realize the league is full of a bunch of entitled, spoiled brats who have never had a father who will teach them that conversation that I just had with you. Nevertheless, facts remain as they are. You will be paid on the scarcity of your marketable skills. That actually brings me perfectly to Colbert. Stephen Colbert lost his job. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars a year. Gone now. Why? Stephen Colbert wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. You didn't tune in. He hated your guts. He hated my guts. And so we turned the television channel off. Now, he has a huge staff. Like 200 people work for that show. Huge staff of people work for the show. Show loses money. Therefore, bye-bye. You see, anybody can go on television and not be funny. Most people go on television and aren't funny at all. You don't get to keep your job that way. The scarcity of your marketable skills. Create value for your employer. You'll always have a job. You'll always make some money. All right? I hope that summed that up. Now, that's enough for the culture war little segment. Let's move on and talk about, well, how do we fight a culture war? It's already happening. That's why shows like Colbert get canceled. You are doing the right thing. You're turning the channel. But we can do more than just that. We can put our money where our morals are. Switch your phone to Pure Talk, your cell phone service. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. Pure Talk shares and promotes your values. Pure Talk is the patriotic cell phone company that was handing out American flags to veterans for Independence Day. Pure Talk never supported Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood. You'll save a fortune when you switch to Pure Talk. Make the switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Support a company that shares your values. We'll be back.
There seems to be no real penalty for saying something that's demonstrably false. It just, it's okay. No, it's not. We have a trust deficit where because people don't know if they can be sure somebody's telling the truth, why should I trust that person? So we stop trusting each other most of the time, and that's dangerous also for our future.
Huh. I wonder why there's a trust deficit. Gosh. Joining me now, my friend Steve Days, host of the wonderful Steve Days Show. Hey, Steve, Francis wants to know why there's a trust deficit in this society. Why do you think there's a trust deficit?
I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, the levels of gaslighting there. I mean, it's Jeffrey Epstein hosting a daddy-daughter date. Okay. I mean, ruminations on anti-Semitism. From the Aryan Nation. I just don't even know what to say to that, Jesse. I mean, that guy, first of all, this is what happens when people aren't given a trial, for their life. When you don't have tribunals after what was done to us and continues to be done for us or done to us. I mean, little things like my audiologist telling me, we've had this rash of 18, 19-year-olds, never seen this before, having tinnitus, infections in their eardrums. Really weird. Just happened in the last few years. Just that kind of stuff. And no one's gone to prison. No one's been put on trial. Debbie Birx is still out there running her bedazzled scarf when she should have been on trial for being where she would have been hung with it if she was convicted for what she did to the country, Jesse. And so this is what you get when there aren't any penalties for bad behavior, let alone just flat out wickedness.
Steve, I talked to Ned Ryan about this a little earlier, and I talked about it in the open. I really think this Tulsi Gabbard revelation, which was no surprise to you about what Barack Obama did and Clapper and Brennan and the rest of them, I frankly think this is a very important part in American history right now, that this will determine our way forward, just for precisely what you just said. If you can get away with that without consequence, if the next generation of communists see them get away with that without consequence, then I don't see how we put the band back together, Steve.
Well, there's a couple of different meta points here. One of them you just touched on. I mean, we just went through an ordeal where the Democrats tried to take a former U.S. president and put him in prison for 90 years, all right, because he may not have disclosed a $130,000 hush money payment to a porn star from a tryst that happened over 20 years ago. Here we have a former president who knowingly instigated and promoted something that his own intelligence assets told him was a scam, not to mention those exact same intelligence assets stayed quiet and mum for the next 4 years. As we were inundated with story after story, news cycle after news cycle, and including an impeachment of nothing but that story and an independent counsel to boot at the exact same time. So if that's not at least borderline treasonous, I don't know what is. So if they can, if there's not, and that brings me to my next meta point here, Jesse, if there's not mutually assured destruction, you can't keep a culture together. And this is where we are right now. We have a political duopoly. It's pretty much what we've had post-Reconstruction in America with a two-party system. And yes, there's a uniparty element to things. But by and large, to the average American, they believe their viewpoints are represented most of the time by one of these two parties. When you have a duopoly system, if you do not have mutually assured destruction, a duopoly like the United States and the Soviet Union from when we were kids, right? What Reagan realized was, hey, because we've been so weak as a country for the last two decades, the crazies in the Kremlin are starting to think they're going to win a nuclear war, that they can really push the button and come out on top. And so we need to create a deterrent. They need to see that no one can win this. The only way to win the game, as War Games once said, is to not play to win is to not play the game. They need to see that there's mutually assured destruction. There's a real deterrent. We don't have that right now. And so what happens when the other side wins, they think they can literally just say, do whatever they want to people like you and me and our audiences, and there's no repercussions whatsoever. They can have the biggest scam we've ever seen, the entirety of the Biden presidency, where he wouldn't have passed a competency hearing if this was a corporate takeover and trying to install him as CEO, let alone president. And yet his infrastructure goes up there and pleads the fifth. They should have been referred to criminal prosecution 5 minutes after that. See, if you don't have that, you can't have e pluribus unum. And especially because of the Marxism and the communism the other side has now been marinated in, if there's no natural deterrent whatsoever, they will not deter themselves. And the stuff you saw under Biden, the largest invasion of our homeland ever in our history, the largest censorship industrial complex deployed ever in our history, what we're talking about here with Russia collusion and more, forcing people by government decree to take and inject a poison into their bodies to have a job, those are the proto versions of what is to come later if we do not reestablish mutually assured destruction as a deterrent.
So will we, Steve? I'm cynical. I know you're cynical. That's probably why we get along. But when the DNI comes out with the documents and he says, I have the goods. I've got the papers. I've referred them to the DOJ. These are crimes. Some of them better go to jail. Even old 44-year-old bald, gray, jaded me starts to get a little flicker of hope in his heart. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy because these are definitive actions. I mean, what Congresswoman Luna did earlier in the day, referring Chairman Powell to the DOJ for perjury prosecutions. See, these are definitive actions. This isn't another James Comer subcommittee just to feed talking points to people that do what you and I do for a living and get our audiences all riled up, get all the clicks, engagement, but then nothing actually happens. And we feel like Scottie Scheffler last week, vanity is vanity, all is vanity, right? We're now actually getting definitive actions. And so the Department of Justice is going to decide whether or not Congresswoman Luna's allegations against Jerome Powell are adequate or not. So someone's going to get exposed here as a clown, either Pam Bondi or Congresswoman Luna. Same thing's going to happen here on a much bigger stakes where Barack Obama is concerned. And see, this brings us back to Pam Bondi. To me, she ought to be relieved she's getting these opportunities. This is a chance for her to reignite and restart and reboot her administration there at DOJ after the complete clown show that's been the Epstein story, since they gave people that you and I both know, probably on a personal level, those binders and made complete clowns and fools out of them. Now, here's the thing, though. If she doesn't see it that way, if she's tense, if she's nervous, then she has to be replaced. All right, you cannot go after a former president of the United States with a guy out of your bullpen with a 47 ERA in his last seven appearances. All right, if you're going after a former president, then you bring in the best arm out of the bullpen that you have. And so, what needs to happen right now at the Trump administration is they need to surmise whether Pam Bondi just got off to a terrible start, and for whatever reason, there's more to the Epstein story than they thought, and now they're concerned about what the actual ramifications of letting this out are going to be. Well, then fine. Then you need to figure out if she's up to the task of going after a former president. And then also the most powerful unelected figure in America, the head of the Federal Reserve. Those are high-value targets, Jesse. You do not bring somebody out of the bullpen to close those cases out who just doesn't have the utmost confidence, and the team around them doesn't have confidence in them either as well. So I think that's the big decision that needs to be made right now.
Do we have people, I mean, Bondi aside, although she's important here, do we have people with the legal chops to take on the $1,000, $2,000 an hour lawyers these people are going to have? Steve, you know as well as I do, you get what you pay for, and you most definitely get that when it comes to the legal profession. These guys are going to bring an army of lawyers that are the best in the country. Do we have something that can match that?
See, this is an excellent question, and one that doesn't get asked a lot. I think people don't really realize that in general, in the legal profession, defense attorneys are way better than prosecutors, just simply because they're paid way more. And there's way more of an incentivization structure to get into the defense attorney line of work. And so to me, I think you go out and maybe, I'm not a huge fan of the guy myself, but and it doesn't necessarily have to be him, but somebody like him. And maybe you bring in somebody like an Alan Dershowitz and give him some kind of a special master or consultant kind of role to help you think the way that these kinds of seven-figure defense attorneys think, so you're one or two steps ahead of them. I think one thing we've seen from Pam Bondi, she's not one or two steps ahead of anything or anybody. And the fact that James Comey's daughter was allowed to sit there and lose a high-profile case on her watch 6 months after she took office just blows my mind. And then, of course, they got rid of her after she ended up blowing the Diddy case there at the end. Again, that just would never happen in a Democrat administration. They never sit there and say, well, I guess we got to take this Republican operative's kid on because we don't want to interrupt a legal continuity here in the middle of such a high-profile case. They would say that's exactly why we have to do it, because we can't trust them to do the job. So, again, what you're really asking is, the people that are on our side, are they cutthroat enough to do the gig? That's really what you're asking. And that's where I think, again, you get back to the, do you have confidence in Pam Bondi or not?
I don't know if I feel better or worse. Whatever. Richie Meets the Rainbow, by the way, is Steve's new book. Make sure you go buy it. Steve, my brother, as always, I appreciate you. Come back. All right. We have a humble light in the moon. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I know that you know that I tend to be more reserved, laid back even, and of course humble. And yesterday was my birthday. This is not something I would ever mention on the air, because the last thing in the world I want to do is draw attention to me when it's about everyone else. It's not about me. I'm not a selfish, arrogant person. But I will say, the love you poured out on me on my birthday, it really brought something home for me. How important I am. How important I am to everybody. And so as a little reward to you for my birthday, I give you gifts on my birthday. You don't have to give me anything. You can go subscribe to my YouTube channel for free. For free. YouTube.com/@JesseKellyDC. Giving that out for free. My gift to you on my birthday is more me. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.